Praise the Lord. I'm so glad you're all in the house of the Lord tonight. My goodness. You must have had a jolly Merry Christmas. It made you want to keep rejoicing. Amen. Well, how many of you believe God whenever he said that he's going to strike the ground and every enemy that's in your life? Thank you, Jesus. Now, I hope you received that, and I hope you keep that. He said he was going to do it, so he did it. The problem with the body of Christ is we believe it for the second. And then when the enemy comes back to plague, we say, oh, it didn't work. And what you have to say, no. On January the 28th, at 7 o'clock, God said, and I believe God and I don't believe your report, then keep what God did for you. Well, Father, I truly do thank you. Look at all these beautiful faces tonight, Father. They came out to sit in your presence. They just wanted to rejoice with you tonight. I'm asking you, Father God, for a special blessing to be poured out upon them. The great blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Father God, you have so much more for your children than what we have been able to contain. But tonight, Father God, I'm believing that you did split the Red Sea. And you did destroy our enemies. And Father God, we can hold whatever it is you have for us. And Father, tonight, let this be a change within our very bosoms. Let there be a new hope. Let there be a bright new light that shines forth and destroys all darkness. And Father God, those who are not having such a good time this Christmas because they've lost loved ones, Father God, send your angels to minister to each and every one. And let the joy of the Lord be their strength, Father. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but I've never read about so much death as what we've been reading about just in the last couple of weeks. Right before I left, I just read where husband and wife both had cancer and they both died on the very same day. You know, I thought to myself, well, that in one way that's good. They went together. One didn't linger behind the other and be sad. And they're just rejoicing together in heaven. That's wonderful. That's not sad. That's wonderful. But we are among the living, and we are supposed to be alive and well, and we're supposed to be showing everybody else all about Jesus. Sister Nancy was telling me about somebody who used to come to church here a couple years back. They found her dead in her car alongside the road. So let's just keep that family up in prayer because they used to be part of us. They lost a daughter the other night, and I'm quite sure they're not rejoicing over that. But we can do our part, and we can pray peace over them, you know, and that God will fill their hearts with his joy. Tonight, I want to read a prophetic word that I think we posted, but I just want to read that because it goes along with our teaching. God said, where is your faith? If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will remove the mountains in your life. The enemy has had control of your lives far too long now. Now is your appointed time to take back what the enemy has stolen. He has been squeezing you like a lemon, draining every ounce of faith out of you. But now is the time for the big squeeze to stop. Remember, you are not fighting against flesh and blood, but the powers of darkness that have invaded this world. Take up your sword of authority and drop your sword of confusion and defeat the enemy at every turn. Excuse me. I am the master of the universe, and I have given you all power and authority to defeat the enemy on all sides. No matter how small or how big, You are the victorious ones, not the enemy. Take back the land. Take it back and keep it. Keep it. The enemy has no power over the land, only the power you give him. Now that was God speaking to you. It's sad I come into this house of God and I see somebody, more than one, sitting around being ignorant. You know, there's no joy in your face and they're going to let everybody else see that no joy. How can you do that in the house of God? So if you're upset with somebody, you know, maybe God's upset with you. But he's still smiling down upon you and rejoicing over you. You have no right to come into the house of God with your feelings on your face. Because I thought we came into the house of God to fellowship with the Father and to leave all of our cares outside that door. That's what I thought. That's what my word tells me. And if you have ought against somebody, you should have taken care of that ought outside that door and not brought that thing into the house of God to defile others who are sitting in the house. This church needs to think about that, because you sit under a powerful anointing of God and you've been taught this too many times and you still have not grasped the meaning of forgiveness. Amen. God said, and I am the master of the universe, and I have given you all power and authority to defeat the enemy on all sides, no matter how small or how big. You are the victorious ones. I look at your face, I don't see victory. I don't see where you believe what God just said. Maybe I know a lot of you don't read the prophetic words that we put out during the week, but you know, they are good words, and they do bring life and not death. And I think if you spend more time reading the things of God instead of sitting around with your feelings, you would be further along with God than what you are right now. Amen. Well, I've entitled this thing so many times, but tonight what I have is How to Experience Signs, Wonders, and Miracles. And I've had about three different titles on here. But God spoke to me the other day. I said, God, what are you going to teach people? He said, unbridled faith. So unbridled means uncontrolled and unconstrained. He wants you to have unbridled faith. Uncontrolled faith and unconstrained faith. He wants your faith to be over the top and still running. Now, do you want to see the supernatural in your life? I remember, I heard your voice now. I remember you said that. Here's how you can experience signs, wonders, miracles, and greater works where you need them the most. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I still believe with every fiber of my being, if you would have unbridled faith. I thought that was awesome. When, you know, I never heard God used unbridled faith before. If we would just have a little bit of faith, we wouldn't walk around like lemons. We would have the joy of the Lord no matter what's going on inside our life. We really would. All right, so do you want to see the supernatural in your life? Here's how you can experience signs, wonders, miracles, and greater works where you need them the most. The supernatural is one thing. People the world over desire to experience the miraculous, to see and experience those things that are over and above, beyond, higher, surpassing, and outside the natural realm. And, you know, as I was writing this, I thought, God, I am so tired of this. You know, why don't we just straighten up? And why don't we just love God? And why don't we just walk with God with all of our heart? Why do we have to see a miracle? Why aren't we going to straighten out till we see God working miracles? You might be one of those standing along the wayside. But God said, if you don't jump in the river now, when my glory really moves, you're going to be standing along the riverbank, not being able to come in. Well, I'll quit having sour puss whenever God gives me a miracle. You're not following God. You're trying to dictate to him, and he is not going to put up with that. All right, but for most, particularly non-believers, life is limited to the earthly realm. You're not even to the non-believers. The church goes there. But for most, particularly non-believers, life is limited to the earthly realm, conforming to the ordinary course of nature and those things that can be deduced by human reasoning alone. And we aren't supposed to be down here reasoning things out with the world. Our minds are supposed to be in heavenly places, receiving heavenly revelation from God and bringing new revelation to the earth. Guys, I'm sorry, but this new year we're going into is not going to contain any of the old. So we might as well get rid of it before the new year comes in. And I'm wondering, really, how many of you let God take those things out of your life during that song? Boy, I was naming everything I could think of and giving it all to him. Amen. As born-again believers, that is not where we are meant to reside, along with the earth. We are created to walk and live in the supernatural and to experience supernatural healing, provision, favor, deliverance, and protection. We are living in a time right now when we need to know how to live in the supernatural, to experience signs, wonders, and miracles, and do the greater works. Everybody I read, they just say the signs, wonders, and miracles, but I'm headed for the greater works. The signs, wonders, and miracles are what were. I want to see what the greater works, and I want to walk in the greater works. So you're going to find I stuck that in all through here. If you need a miracle in your life, your victory is waiting for you in the supernatural. Here is how you can experience signs, wonders, miracles, and greater works where you need them the most. Number one, believe the love of God. Believe the love of God, 1 John 4:16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. Some of you haven't, so don't say amen. So 1 John 4:16, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. I'm going to tell you, when I was first born again, I was a person who had a wall built around my heart. You could only come so far in my life, and no further you couldn't touch me. The first thing God told me was, daughter, you're going to have to let me remove that wall for your heart to be opened and to be heard over and over and over again, or I can't use you. Some of you still have a wall that you know you should get rid of, and you like it because it satisfies you. It justifies the fact that you can sit and feel sorry for yourself. Well, look what they did to me. Well, look what you're doing to these lost souls out there. You're supposed to be getting that wall torn down so God can use you to testify of his love and his goodness. I don't care what you go through. I've been through it too, but I don't care to dwell on it. It didn't do me any good then, and it sure is going to kill me now. Are you listening to this? We dwell too much on the negative, and we never get to the positive. Do you need a miracle? Love is the answer. You may be thinking money is the answer, healing is the answer, or deliverance is the answer, but those are just the manifestations of the real power behind every miracle, which is the love of God. I had to repent the other night as I was typing this up because, sickness hit my body and I sort of like received it. And I had to repent to God. I said, I know you love me too much to let me suffer like this. I mean, I know that we all are going to suffer. And God told me I was one to would suffer. But I know that he wants me to be further along than what I am. And I'm being honest. And some of you in here can say, too, that you should be further along than you are, except you've allowed the enemy to keep you bound in some area. And you have not walked back into that. Then I was remembering God said to me, daughter, you have to return back to your first love. And I think I've thought now for 2 years I knew what that was all about. And I keep returning back to my first love. But still, I have not returned totally back to my first love. Because if I did, I would be walking and rejoicing and knowing and praising God that he's already healed my body like he promised. Because I know my Father loves me. And he's not going to leave me nor forsake me. And I know he's the best thing I've ever had in my life. Come on, I know you women, you've had men in your life, but you know they've let you down. And men, you've had women in your life, they've let you down. But God never does. God never does. So why not choose him over everything else? Then everything else you get is just a little benefit from loving him and receiving his love. I really had to repent, and I hope some of you do too. All right, you will never walk in the realm of the miraculous until you understand the love of God for you and for all people. That's important. We're not just talking about any love, but the love. Because God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. And back there I said, you will never walk in the realm of the miraculous until you understand the love of God for you and for all people. Now, I'm going to give a testimony here. All my life I've loved people. You know, my mother said, you bring everything, every stray into the house. I've always loved people, but I've noticed one thing. A year ago, I got tired of people. And I know I'm not the only one. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I know I'm a minister of the gospel, but I got tired of people, and I believe Jesus got tired of people. And then because I got tired of people, then I really didn't love people the way I should love them. I'm being honest here. Because I kept looking at, you know, and I shouldn't have been doing that. I should have been saying, God, they're yours. You know what's going on. And I just need to keep loving them and quit going. So I repented about that. Are you all understanding this? All right. So I said, because God is love, he doesn't have love, he is love. And 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you just didn't realize it. Well, I realized it finally, that you weren't loving people the way you ought. And therefore, you weren't abiding in God's love. And that's why you're not seeing the great signs, wonders, and miracles. And, you know, like I've always said, ever since I've been born again, I've always walked in great signs, wonders, and miracles, raising the dead, whatever. You know, I just saw it happen. Then, well, I know why God stopped that. It's because he stopped in the church. But within myself, why did he stop it? Because I started not loving people the way I ought. I wanted them to act the way I thought they should act. I was looking at their flesh and not the inside of the heart that was hurting. Are you understanding this? And because I wasn't abiding in the love 100% like I always did, God withdrew the miracles from me. But I know one thing. When I got through with this and did all my repenting, I know that we're going to start seeing great signs, wonders, and miracles, and the greater works. Just because I did it. Now, what do you want God to do through you? What do you want him to do through you? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us got ourselves together in that area? Yes. Then all of us walked in signs, wonders. Well, you wouldn't be able to stay in this room. We'd be floating up to heaven. Are you understanding that? This is the truth. This is really the truth. Okay, notice in this verse that we just read, it says, we have known and believed the love. Now, to believe is to have faith in his love. Most Christians don't have faith in his love. I've heard people say, God doesn't love me. I mean, that's the last trip she makes. All right? You go back there and tell her it's the last trip she makes. All right? All right, most Christians don't have faith in his love. If you were to ask them if God loves them, most would say yes, but they don't really believe it. They just mentally agree with John 3:16. A lot of people cannot believe that God loves them. Well, why did he let me go through all that? Well, why did God let Jesus go through what he went through? He definitely loved his son. You just need to stop. You know, life didn't quit just because you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God told me, daughter, you have to keep living among the dead. You have to keep, every day, you have to, you know, walk just like you always did. Just because you got born again does not mean that life changed. Your heart should be changing, but life didn't change because life goes on. All right, consider Mark 4:37 and 38. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke Jesus and said to Jesus, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And poor Jesus, he was tired. He just wanted to rest. And right away, the disciples, all they thought about was herself. They didn't care if Jesus was tired or not. Then they accused him. "Do you don't care about me? Come on." A lot of us do that. Bad things are going on in your life. "God, you can't love me, or I wouldn't be going through this." That's never passed my lips, because I don't believe that. I know he loves me. And he told me right up front, "Some are born to suffer, and you're one of those that will suffer." And so, but I also know, he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. Some of your friends leave you and you get in trouble, don't you? You get two drug addicts out on the street and have guns, and somebody gets a shoot, and one's going to run off and hide. I'm not going to get caught with them. Right? Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus, "I'm going to stick closer than a brother with you. I'm going to stay right here through thick and thin." Amen? All right. Love himself, which was Jesus, was asleep in that boat. The same one who was moved with compassion and healed their sick. Compassion is not a feeling. It's a person. Jesus is compassion. Therefore, if that's the truth, then we should have compassion for everybody like Jesus did, right? Like he does for you. Jesus said in John 14:10, "The Father who dwells in me does the work." The Father who dwells in me does the work. It's the Father who is love who does the work. And I listened to a sermon today by Kenneth Copeland, and he was saying that he kept reiterating the fact that everything that Jesus did was what God did. That Jesus didn't do anything in his own. He only did what the Father. He saw the Father doing what the Father told him to do. If the body of Christ would understand that statement, you wouldn't see all the junk in the church that we see. Because it should be the Holy Spirit working and not you. Come on. Just like the night whenever God wanted to speak and my microphone wasn't on for the first time in ever, and I needed the music to stop, and see that waned the Spirit, so I lost really what he was going to say, just the gist of what I told you. But he was going to speak a whole lot. Because it's him who runs the church. It's him that speaks through me and who speaks through you. We're supposed to be Holy Spirit people, Spirit-filled, and the only thing we say is what God speaks through our lips. Are you listening here? Not what you think the people need to hear. Somebody said to me the other day, "Well, I know you directed that somebody." I said, "No, I didn't. I didn't even know he was even going to say that. God wanted that person," whatever it was, "God wanted that person to know it, so he said it and moved on." Are you listening here? So if you think I sit at home and put together a message for you, I don't. I really don't. All right. People today often think and say the same thing Jesus' disciples said in that boat. "How come you let this come on me, Lord? Don't you care?" And you know what? Really and truly, a lot of us bring our own problems on ourselves. My testimony about my first husband, I was getting ready to walk down the aisle, and I didn't know I could hear God's voice. I didn't know anything about God's voice. A voice said to me, "Don't walk down that aisle." I didn't know what that was, so I did. And I didn't have a good marriage for 45 years, lived not even really married. It was not God's fault. His Holy Spirit said to me, "Do not walk down that aisle. Do not marry this man." And I looked around at all the people in the church, and it was filled because my husband's family is big. And my mother had all this food prepared at home. She spent hours and days and weeks getting a reception together. And I thought, I can't not do this. And I did it, and I paid for 45 years. Because I had made other covenants with God before I ever got married when I was a young girl, which I had to fulfill. And because I didn't listen to him, I had to fulfill those other things. But it was not his fault. Some of you need to stop blaming God for what you're going through because it's your fault. You didn't hear God's voice. And like me, you didn't know that, but still in all, even some of you know God's voice, you still don't do what God's telling you to do, and you blame everything on God, and really, truly, it's you. And we have to start being honest with ourselves. Because if not, we're not going to go to heaven. The enemy will fool us right into hell. All right. So anyhow, I said, how can come you let this come on me, Lord? Don't you care? What is that? It's unbelief. You don't believe that your Father will never leave you nor forsake you. You don't believe that he already knows what you're going to go through before he ever placed you in your mother's womb. So it's unbelief. In what? What's the unbelief in? The love who is God who is love. You don't believe God loves you. Some of you don't even believe God exists. Or some of you say with your mouth, I believe he exists, but you act like he doesn't, right? You act like the world. To have faith in God is to have faith in love itself. Faith works by love. See that? Love is our foundation. Without believing in the love of God for you, you will not be able to fuel the kind of faith it takes to experience signs, wonders, miracles, and greater works in your life. Without believing in the love that God has for you, you will not be able to fuel the kind of faith it takes to experience signs, wonders, and miracles. How do you think Jesus went to the cross? He went to the cross because he knew his Father loved him. And he knew that his Father knew what was best for the world. And he was willing to pay the price so you and I could one day go in heavenly places. All right, to develop your faith in God's love or in anything else from God, you have to learn what the Word says about it. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why you should either read the Bible for yourself, which is a good, very, the best idea I know of, or, you know, when you're in your car, instead of having the hillbilly music on or the, you know, whatever you play, maybe you should have the Word of God playing into your spirit man and growing up your spirit man. All right, for instance, Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How many of you believe that? Put that verse from the word first place. Don't ever go by how you feel about the love of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. Who is goodness and mercy? It's God. He's with us. His Holy Spirit is with us. If you can think on those things, you won't be so negative, and you'll be able to get changed by this Spirit. And don't let me or anybody else fool you into thinking that we're all that and then some, and we live this 100%. We don't. There are days that we falter and fall too. God says a good man will fall 7 times in one day, and 7 times in one day he'll pick himself back up again. And I don't know about you, but from growing up when I was in church, I always thought the pastor was God himself. You know, because that's the way they preach, that's the way they taught, you know. They never let you know that they faltered and fell too. And then you always felt, well, I could never reach, attain the height that they're at. And so you just sort of muddled along, right? When you give your testimony to somebody, you can't win a person from drugs. If you've been a drug addict, when you give your testimony to another drug addict, you're going to have to tell them where you were and how God brought you out of that. All right, so let's just say you were raped. How are you ever going to administer to another rape victim if you don't tell them where you came from and how God brought you out of that? You know, our testimony is what overcomes. Our testimony is what brings others to Christ. And if we're running around or telling the lost world out there that we're perfect, they know they can't reach that perfection. They're going to have to hear some true, honest to goodness testimonies of where you were at and how God brought you through it. You didn't bring your own self through it. All right, I said, don't ever go by how you feel about the love of God. Don't confess anything else other than surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Be confident in the fact that God's mercy and goodness will follow you all the days of your life. If you have the idea today that God is not willing to get in your deal with you, you're not believing the love of God. Maybe you're saying, I just don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do, it's praising time. Start by praising, then fill up on the word. Ask yourself this, are you spending enough time with God? All right, I said, if you have the idea today that God is not willing to get in your deal with you, and what I meant by that is, if you think God isn't going to come and visit with you while you're on drugs, you don't believe God is there to help you. If you don't believe God is there to help you through an addiction of any type, cigarettes, gluttony, anything, then you don't really trust and believe in the love of God. Do you know that God sits right there with you? His holy angels are right there with you when you're getting high. Because he says he knows all that you do. He even knows your thoughts. So if he knows all that, he's in your deal already with you. And the reason why you're not dead is because he is keeping you alive. He is with you always. Which are you spending the most time on? The television, the computer, looking at pornography, or God? You're going to ask yourself that question, because if you're not spending any time with him, sickness is coming and trouble is coming. Okay, where are we at here? You're going to ask yourself that question, because if you're not spending any time with him, sickness is coming and trouble is coming. We asked you, what do you spend the most time with? All right, start by reading 1 John every day for 2 weeks. Meditate on the scriptures concerning God's love. It will develop your capacity for faith. As your faith grows, your understanding of God's love will expand until Satan's tactics begin to shrink and lose their grip over your life. Anybody that's really walked with God for any length of time can say amen to that. The more you read your scriptures, the more you understand God. Read all the red letters. That's all Jesus spoke. And just let that sink into your spirit, man. Watch how that changes you. Then you'll become a prime candidate for experiencing signs, wonders, miracles, and greater works. Settle this forever. Healing belongs to you. Deliverance belongs to you. Victory is your inheritance. However, the ball is in your court. God told me that one time. He said, daughter, the ball's in your court. What are you going to do with it? So tonight, God is trying to get you to walk in his love for you. And the ball is in your court. Are you going to believe he really loves you, or are you going to lose the ball? It's up to each one of you. You don't have to try to get God to manifest a miracle in your life. Love already provided everything for you, but it starts with believing. Say this, I believe the love is in me now. I believe it never fails. I believe God is love. All right, the second point is receive the love of God. Ephesians 3:17 through 19 says, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love. This is why the body of Christ is wavering the way it is. They are not rooted and established in love. May have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Love is the foundation, but so many people stop short of receiving the love of God because they can't believe. Over the years, I was thinking about the people, how many people are going in and out of these doors, and I was thinking about that, and so many people that could never grasp the idea that God loved them. They were going through hard times, and you know, all kind of different things were happening to them. And if that's the case, if God loves me, how come he allowed it to happen? How come he allowed his son to go to the cross? Is what you should ask yourself. Love is the foundation, but so many people stop short of receiving the love of God because they can't believe. They don't feel worthy. They fear he won't come through for them, or they fear he is able, but maybe not willing, at least not for them. And how many of you heard people say, well, yeah, they did it for them. God did it for them, but he won't do it for me. You can't argue that, because they have that rocked in their head. It's a big stone that's lodged in there, and I don't care what you say, they're going to continue to believe that till God strikes them in some way. So I don't argue with them. I just know God loves you, and I walk away. All right, these people camp out on past failures, and they put themselves in the position of judge and jury of their self rather than God, who declared them innocent with the blood of Jesus. I hear so many people judging self. Good grief. Quit it. If you've given yourself to God, then God has you. I ask God every day, I said, search me, Father God, and if there's anything in me that's not pleasing you, please show it to me so I can get rid of it. But I'm not really judging myself. I'm not saying, oh God, you will never be able to love me because I've done this or done. I don't do that. Because my word says he loves me no matter what I do. Right? Unworthiness, guilt, and shame all stem from fear. And the enemy is lingering, waiting to use your fear as a backdoor to steal the inventory outlined in the Word of God that belongs to you. That's why healing, prosperity, and deliverance always come, but they aren't always received. But there's one way to keep what God has given to you, and it's to receive the love of God without fear. How many times have you guys done deliverance and people say, well, am I really free? Yes, we just see it's all demons leave you. Yes, you're free. And then they walk out of here and that devil says, I didn't go nowhere. You know, that's just the way it works. And then they start entertaining that devil, and he didn't go nowhere because he didn't have to. He pops right back in again. So you have to know that God is with you and that God is doing the works that needs to be done. All right, fear is a thief. Fear will block the miraculous in your life. In the Gospel of Luke, we get an up-close view of how Jesus dealt with fear when a man was facing a serious trial. This is what the word said. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed. You'll find that in Luke 8, 41 through 42 and 49 and 50. Why was Jesus so quick to tell Jairus not to fear? Because he knew fear would hinder Jairus from receiving. A spiritual fact, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Fear will prevent your miracle from taking place, and that's the truth. And if you couldn't do something about fear, Jesus wouldn't have told Jairus to stop it. What gets rid of fear? Love-filled faith will cast it out. All right, you know, so God told me a long time ago the devil was going to come and he was really going to put me through the hoops and this and that and the other. But God's when it's one thing, he can do anything he wants to you, but he can't kill you. And so when the devil was putting me through all the loops, he said, I'm going to kill you. And I said, no, you're not. God said you could do anything but kill me. And God said, when it's all finished, you're going to be standing facing me and rejoicing. And so I kept telling the devil, he kept saying, I'm going to kill you. I said, no, you're not. See, I believe that. And because I believed that and I had faith for that, and fear didn't enter in that he might kill me, and it turned out just like God said it was going to. So quit believing the lies of the devil and start just trusting what God. See, a lot of you don't know what God even says to you. You know, you get a prophetic word, you know, and flip it on the ground somewhere and forget about it. Well, that you just flipped away your belief. Amen. We in this church, I will not allow anybody to prophesy over you unless I know you. And if you're prophesying and I feel like, well, I know that you're stepping over the line and doing a mixed prophecy, I make you stop because your souls are in my hands and God's going to hold me accountable. So any word you've gotten in here has been a right-on word. And if it hadn't come to pass yet, don't come and ask me why it hasn't. Ask God. Somewhere along the line, something has caused it to stop, or it just wasn't time for it to come to pass yet. God has a perfect time for everything. He speaks over your life. I had somebody come in here one day, all excited. This was years, a couple years ago, and they said, remember the word you spoke over me 10 years ago? No, I don't. 10 years ago, you spoke this over me. It's all come to pass. It's all come. They were so excited. It took 10 years. But the person said, I kept believing, kept listening, and it all came to pass. So And I don't think it's going to take 10 years for anything, because we don't have that kind of time. We are working on the second coming of Jesus, and he doesn't have 10 years to waste. All right? All right, so what gets rid of fear? Love-filled faith will cast it out. Focusing on receiving the love of God will stop fear in its tracks. Believing and receiving the love of God will put your focus in the right place to experience signs, wonders, miracles, and greater works. Stuck that greater works in there again. Kenneth Copeland experienced this when he twisted his ankle and nearly broke it. It was swollen, painful. Remember, 2 years he carried on with that ankle. He was attending a Kenneth Hagin meeting, and he wondered how he was going to make it through. Gloria laid hands on him before the meeting started. Then as Kenneth, the pain was so severe, he just didn't think he could sit that long. Then as Kenneth locked in on the word, of God being preached by Brother Hagin, he stopped thinking about his leg and started listening to what was being preached, okay? His focus shifted from his problem to the love of God, because Kenneth Hagin was teaching about the love of God. By the end of the meeting, he was completely healed. He had received his healing without knowing when or how. He had just been completely focused on the word instead of his problem. The love of God had driven out fear about his situation. Isn't that awesome? If you're believing for healing today, one thing is true. God has done all he's going to do about healing you. Maybe you're thinking, well, then how come I'm not healed if I'm healed? How many people you heard say that? Because you keep saying you're not, and you have what you say. If you want to experience signs, wonders, miracles, and greater works, you have to receive the love of God with your words. Change your words and change your outcome. I'm never going to be delivered from this addiction. No, you're not, because you keep saying that. Well, if God's with me, why do I still go back to the addiction? You need to quit saying that. All right? Make it official today. Receive the love of God. Gather the scriptures you're standing on to receive the miracle you need. For example, if it's healing, gather those scriptures and speak them over your situation by faith. Then rejoice as you receive. When you get to that point where you're rejoicing before you receive, there's no going back. Remember the story I tell about the lady who her husband left her, and the pastor said, you're going to have to, if you want him back, you're going to have to believe he's coming back. So for 3 years, she set the table, and she sat down and talked to him as she ate. He wasn't there. In the meantime, he married, but she still set the table for 3 years, and one day he knocked on the door crying, and he came back to her. He divorced his other wife and came back to her, and they're both in the ministry. I don't know where they're at today, but for 3 years. None of you ladies would do that. You sit at the table and have another man sitting there. But she just sat at that table and just believed that her husband was sitting there with her for 3 years. What a testimony, right? All right, it doesn't matter what pain or what demon comes at you, you have received love, and faith will boil over. You just stay in the word, and it'll boil because faith is coming. Faith is coming. You can feel it. You can't feel it, but it's coming. You keep the water on the heat, and it will boil. That's believing in and receiving the love of God. All right, I'm just going to use this, my sickness. God told me when it's come. He told me it was there, and he told me it was meant to kill me. But he said, you're not going to die because I'm healing you right now. And that's been a couple of years now. And the other night, I was really having a bad night. And I sat up in the bed and I said, devil, you're the biggest liar that ever walked the face of the earth. I'm not dying. I'm healed. My body is healed because God spoke it. And you can just take your pain and everything else and just go. And I've just been saying, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And just like what I wrote down there, if I'm healed, why isn't it being manifested? But I know in God's timing it will be. God told us we're going through Job experiences, and you know what happened to Job. God told us we were being sifted as wheat, like Peter was, and they just stood the course and knew that God loved them, and look at the outcome. So what's going on in your life? What's going on, with your children? Stand, if God spoke to you about it, then stand on that with a positive word, no matter what you see or what you hear or how you feel. Because love is with you. This Christmas was, you know, you could feel the love in the air. And he told us to make this the best Christmas ever. And I know a lot of families that fuss usually at Christmas time. They were at peace this Christmas because God wants the world to see his love. And I think the words in the bulletin, he's saying this is a return of the prodigals now. And we're going to love, I don't know what it said, but I'm saying we're going to love the prodigals. And, you know, God is all about love. And if you can't receive him, then his love, then you might as well quit. The foundation of everything you do comes from love. If you're a person of strife and hate, God can't use you. Everybody should have a sounding board, somebody you can talk to. You know it's going to stay right there. Sometimes we just have to get it out, you know. And we know that, you know, that God hears us, but every now and then we're funny people. And we need a person to, you know, to shout at or whatever. But do whatever you have to do, but get it out and keep trusting God and don't give up. All right, from this point, we go to unbridled faith, the faith of a mustard seed, the faith to do the greater works that God has called each of us to do. So I said unbridled is uncontrolled, unconstrained. You're going to have so much faith. And I was going to teach all about how big a mustard tree is, but, you know, it doesn't matter. Just have faith. Jesus said to those struggling with belief in Matthew 17:20, because of the littleness of your faith, you know, they couldn't deliver somebody. He said, because they want to know why. Because of the littleness of your faith, or truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. And see what happens in the body of Christ. I know because I have one of them every now and then. Tree move. Mountain move. And it's still there. You know, and it, Jesus said, if I just speak to it in faith and I have faith, you're going to move. And I look and it's still there. We have to quit that, don't we? We don't care if the sickness is still there. We don't care if our kids are still on drugs. God said. And we just stand on love and believe that what he says is true. And we just keep moving. How many of you tonight, you know that you haven't been able to accept God's love in all of its fullness? You think, boy, I've been so dirty and so bad and so mean, there's no way God could love me. That's not the truth. I have found out that he loves you dirty people more than you know. He shows you an awful lot of grace and mercy. And you know what? We're so glad that he shows the ones that have been through the furnace more than we have. I'm so glad he shows us them all that grace and mercy. You know, like I said one time with my husband, I was talking about, I said, the pastor told me that I had to forgive him for committing adultery. And I said, what? She said, you have to go and ask him to forgive you, for him to forgive you because you talked about him. And then she told me that if he repented, he was going to go to heaven. Wow. I said, no way. She said, Barbara, you know, yes. And I said, I've been good. Now, this is me, you know, this little saint, you know. I've been good all these years, never done anything wrong. And you're telling me this man who's committed adultery for all these years is going to say, Father God, forgive me, and he go to heaven. She said, that's true. I said, no, I can't believe that. She worked for a couple months to get me to believe that. And some of you are like that. You know, some of you are like that. I've been so good. No, you haven't. That right there shows you haven't. And they've been so bad. Well, you'll be surprised who's going to be in heaven. All right, so those of you in here that cannot, up to this point, have not been able to receive the love of God in all of its fullness, just not a little trickle of it, the altar's open. God's going to show you how much he loves you tonight.